Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
National college sports reporter for CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports. John, I think you're in Columbus getting ready for the Horseshoe to host Tennessee. How you doing, man?
Good. Yeah, I'm here in Columbus. It's cold, not quite snowy cold the way that I guess they're getting in South Bend, but it's pretty cold. It's going to be, I think, below 30 degrees here at kickoff tomorrow, so it's going to be some good cold football weather here.
I can't wait for it.
I love it. Let's start with tonight's game. Indiana Notre Dame, man. It's weird. This is like an in-state rivalry that you almost kind of never hear of because Indiana's been so bad at football for so long. What do you like tonight? Kind of what are the keys for the Hoosiers to get to pull off the upset?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's in part, like you said, Indiana's been so irrelevant for so long that you just don't really think about these two teams as being rivals. I think it's an interesting matchup. You know, Notre Dame has been good for the majority of the season. Of course, they have that massive blip on their schedule, that Northern Illinois loss. But, you know, since then, I think have rallied well. I think Riley Leonard has improved over the course of the season, and they're in a pretty good place getting this game at home. Indiana, the flip side is, you know, all season long, the question's about, you know, all right, we see them putting up huge numbers. They're dominating teams the way that you want them to dominate lesser opponents, but they hadn't really played anybody. And then they finally, you know, play a real opponent. They lose. You know, they looked okay. I don't think they, you know, they didn't look maybe as good as you were hoping, but not as bad as some people maybe expected. So we still haven't really seen them compete against as tough of an opponent as Notre Dame consistently this season outside of Ohio State. So I like Notre Dame in this game. I think that the weather does, I think, favor them. I think it's going to limit some of what Indiana likes to do with Curtis Rourke. And I think that Notre Dame's defense is ultimately going to be the difference here. But, you know, the snow that we're seeing, and just the way these two teams play, I think it'll probably be, you know, an ugly game, but I do kind of favor Notre Dame in this spot.
We're talking about college students here, and Notre Dame has always been the big dogs over Indiana. Indiana has always been the little brothers. That emotion and that those feelings could come into this game and change it up too. Do you think it's any chance that Notre Dame overlook them?
Well, I think I think it's an interesting point. And I think, you know, maybe as we talk about some of these other games, you know, in the playoff, Ohio State's one that comes to mind for me, that like there is, you know, a unique level of pressure. This is the first year of these home playoff games. So, mm-hmm. You know, we don't have any data yet. We don't know if it's a good or bad thing. Obviously, you think it's a good thing, but there is pressure at playing at home, being the favorite in this situation, as you mentioned, going up against kind of the little brother that, mm-hmm. you know, if a team like Indiana, if they get up early, do you start seeing the, you know, Notre Dame get a little tight? You know, does what happens to that crowd? I think that's one of the things that I'm very interested in some of these, you know, bigger matchups. But, you know, I think there's been enough of a gap. They've had multiple weeks to prepare for this. I really strongly believe in Marcus Freeman. He's a guy that has gotten NFL interest already, recently signed a big extension in Notre Dame, but he's a guy who I think is, you know, really good. He's lost some games he shouldn't have, but I think he's in a good place right now with this team. And so I don't think they'll overlook them. But to your point, you know, when you have young kids involved, that certainly things can start going upside down pretty fast.
For sure. Talking with John Talty here, CBS Sports college football analyst. He's in Columbus for Tennessee, Ohio State. I mean, what a heavyweight matchup that is, and probably two teams that don't play all that often, I assume. That's the night game tomorrow night. Let's go. Let's start there, and then we'll hit the other two. But Tennessee's D-line, dude, I know how good Ohio State's receivers are, but I think Tennessee's D-line might control this game. I kind of like the Volunteers here.
I think it's the best game of the first round, and I have picked Tennessee in this game. You know, I think certainly whether they win or not, I like Tennessee getting 7.5 here. I think that their defense can keep them in this game. I think that their defensive front is going to give Will Howard some problems. You know, Ohio State's offensive line is injury depleted right now. I think that's a problem for them. We saw Ohio State really struggle to run the ball effectively against Michigan. I think it can be a problem again against Tennessee. They've got a top 10 run defense. This is, I think, a really fascinating game. And I think it's one of those where, kind of like I was saying earlier about Notre Dame, I think it's even more apparent with Ohio State that we're seeing this fan base already start to turn on Ryan Day. And it's at home. There's been all these stories already about, you know, Tennessee fans kind of invading Columbus, coming in. I haven't quite seen
them
yet.
How real is that?
Yeah, I haven't really seen it yet, but I mean, I got in yesterday. We'll see after I talk to you guys. I'm planning on kind of just, you know, roaming around Columbus to see how real it is. I mean, there's been talk of a decent amount of fans coming. We'll see on Saturday for sure. But I just think that there's an opportunity in that stadium for things start to go bad, for people to start booing Ryan Day, for the players who have been so win a championship or bust all season, where you could see them really start to play tight. I think it was a factor against Michigan, a Michigan team that was inferior in many ways that still found a way to win. And I think that's a real thing that Ryan Day is going to have to figure out. Is he able to handle the pressure of really having to win this game, or does he let Tennessee hang around? I think between Tennessee's defense and its run game with Dylan Sampson, like, Tennessee can win ugly games. And I think Ohio State's going to have to put the ball downfield of some of their weapons and try to knock out Tennessee early, because I think if you let them hang around, you're just going to feel that stadium get tighter and tighter and tighter.
Well, the thing about him, he wins a lot of games. He loses to Michigan. If he happened to lose this game in Tennessee, how much pressure is on him at that point?
I think a tremendous amount. And we've already seen the athletic director say that he'll be back next year. I think you take him at his word. But this was a championship or bust season. They've been open about having a $20 million NIL roster that puts them in the top three or four in the country. They have a lot of different guys who are really, really good. They went out. They are very aggressive in adding talent, like Quinshon Judkins, who is an SEC Offensive Freshman of the Year. They added Caleb Downs, who is SEC Defensive Freshman of the Year from Alabama. Like, this was the team. This is the team that's supposed to win it all. And I think that when they play at their best, they still have that potential to, but they just seem to shirk in big moments where they do not play up to their potential. And, you have to win games like this. And so I think if Ryan Day were to lose, I don't know that it leads to anything massive happening this year, but certainly would enter in next year at minimum one of the hottest seats in the country. And I think the thing that they really have to worry about, and this is, like, I think something that a lot of teams are going to have to think about moving forward, is that if your fan base starts to tune out and they stop donating to NIL and they stop paying the massive donations for their tickets every year, like, that's when it starts to get, well, this is a lot of money to get rid of them, but we might lose more money in the long term if we don't make a move, if we worry about our fans just starting to stop coming around and stop giving us their money.
That's crazy. Yeah. Talking with John Talty here, CBS Sports. You can give him a follow at JTalty, TALTY. All right, we've gone in-depth on Notre Dame and Ohio State, Tennessee. The other two games have the biggest spreads. I think both expect the home teams to win. Penn State, SMU, let's start there. Happy Valley, noon start, whiteout game. That place will be electric, I assume. What do you think?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like Ryan Day, James Franklin doesn't have the greatest reputation for big games. People like to call him Big Game James. And, we've seen him struggle against the Ohio States, the Michigans. You know, I think that you expect Penn State to win this game. They're at home. I've seen them a couple times this year. Tyler Warren is so dynamic. I love the different ways that they use him. They have a really strong run game. Defense has been solid. There have been some ups and downs, but defense overall I think is good. I think that they benefit some from what will again probably be an ugly, cold day. But SMU is dangerous. I do think that, you know, what Kevin Jennings does, I'm a big believer in their coach, Rhett Lashley. You know, I've been following him since he was, Auburn's offensive coordinator many years ago under Gus Malzahn. Like, I think he's a really good, smart, young coach. I think he'll have some good dynamic things dialed up for Penn State. So I could see it being a challenge early on, but you would think with the amount of talent that Penn State has and that it is in Happy Valley that, I think that it's understandable why that spread is as big as it is. I think my initial reaction when the bracket came out was like, I love Penn State's path. Like, this feels like if you're a Penn State fan, this is a path that feels very winnable, that, all right, can James Franklin finally get us on a run? They've been very close. They're always that team that finishes like sixth in college football playoff rankings. They always just miss the cut. Now they're in. Now's the time to make a run. You're starting with a home game. You got to beat SMU. And I think he's another guy, not quite to the level of Ryan Day, but I think that were James Franklin to lose tomorrow against SMU, like, I think that you're going to see an upset fan base that kind of feels like they're almost stuck in purgatory to some extent, where the guy's pretty good. He can win 9-10 every year, but like, is he really the guy to get us to where we want to be? You lose against SMU, I think that, that kind of meter starts moving more and more to, no, I don't think he's the guy.
Bro, I don't even think – I think Penn State wins tomorrow. And I think in some ways, like, the worst thing that ever happened to the Giants was Daniel Jones winning that playoff game in Minnesota, because then they paid him. I think if you seek your validation by making a 12-team playoff and beating SMU, I don't know. Like, for Penn State to be where all the Penn Staters think they are, like, you got to beat Georgia. Like, one of these teams.
Yeah, you got to go farther.
Frankly, to me, SMU shouldn't be there. That should be South Carolina. And then I think it'd be a hell of a win if you win it. But whatever. It's not up to me. I left this one for last because I think this is going to be an ass-kicking. Texas-Clemson, you got anything there?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is where we're going to see, I don't know if you guys noticed, like Clemson has finally dabbled in the transfer portal. They've added a couple guys in the last week after Dabo refused to do it for a long time. I think we're going to see in this game the ramifications of not doing that. I think there's a huge talent gap between these two programs. We saw what happened to Clemson early on in the year against Georgia, and they got their butts kicked. I think that something similar happened. Now, Texas is a team that's they're a little confounding to watch because they're so good. And yeah, exactly. Like you want them to be more. And you know, Quinn Ewers, whether it's making mistakes at the wrong time, like there've been. I mean, I've watched a lot of them this season. And there have been numerous games, even against Texas A&M being one of them. I saw them in SEC Championship against Georgia. Like, you feel like, all right, this team should be up, you know, 2-3 touchdowns. Yeah. And, like, they're getting field goals. And, like, they let teams hang around. So I think when you watch that game, you're going to feel like Texas is so much better than Clemson. But if they can't figure out some of those offensive issues they've had, I think Clemson will hang around a little more than they should. But I have almost no doubt that Texas, I think, wins this game. I love where they're at defensively. I think they're going to overwhelm that Clemson offensive line, and I do. I think the offense will look better in this game after some recent issues. But again, they have a habit of just letting teams hang around because they can't punch it in the red zone. Mm.
So I'll hang around as long as you will let
Please
me.
Please stop singing.
It's David Allen Coe, dude. John, thank you, brother. Enjoy the game. What an awesome atmosphere that's going to be at the Horseshoe tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I think it's going to be fun. I'm glad that we're getting these games on campus. You know, seeing the snow in South Bend's awesome, and I'm sure it's going to be a rocking atmosphere in the Shoe tomorrow night.
All right. Absolutely, man. Thanks for the time.
Hi, John. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you guys.
John Talty right there. JTALTY, National College Sports Reporter, CBS Sports 24/7. He writes books. He does it all, man. Check him out and be sure to watch these college football games. A smart politics guy is going to join us at 11 to walk me off the ledge. Probably won't work. Nobody go anywhere.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.